ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
In Numbers 33:55, before they even entered the land, we're told, "But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell." Pretty straightforward. Obedience to what the Lord has said is not just a suggestion, it's a warning. And believe me, God knows what he's talking about. God is an all-knowing God, and he knows what's best for our lives. And we see that repeatedly over and over, that the children of Israel disobeyed God. In Judges 1:30, "Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahal. So the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute." God said, drive them out. Don't let them live there. And it's repeated over and over and over again in the book of Judges. And there were consequences then to their disobedience. I think for us, our obedience to the Lord and what he's told us is important, obviously. And there are, yes, many times that we may not fully understand all that God is telling us, but we have to obey because he knows what's best for our lives. I'll give you this example. Even though we may not understand something, that we need to obey what the Lord has said in his word. In the Belgian Congo, it was a hot and really humid day. And the leaves on the trees, they kind of hung low. They were weighted down with all the moisture. And this small boy played not far from the missionary home under this tree. And all of a sudden, the father just yells out to him, "Philip, obey me instantly. Get down on your stomach." And the boy reacted at once. And his father continued, "Now crawl toward me fast." And the boy obeyed again. And after he had come about halfway, the father said, "Now stand up and run to me." And the boy reached his father and turned to look back. And hanging from the branch under which he had been playing was a 15-foot serpent. Are we always ready to obey, or when the Lord tells us to do something, we say, "Well, why, Lord? Or explain to me, or give me a few minutes here." How much better when he tells us, don't go down that path, that we don't question him, and we obey him. We need to do that, because we don't know better than God. And for the children of Israel, this bondage that they were going to find themselves in, this captivity that they were going to find themselves in, wasn't a result of their military weakness. They were spiritually empty. This is not the voice of an out-of-control God, some dictator. It's the voice of a God who is broken over the sin of his people. As he warned them, "Why have you done this? Can you see the compassion of God? Why? Why have you turned from me? Why have you done this? These enemies are going to be a thorn in your side. They're going to take you captive. There's consequences for what you're doing." And for us, you know, driving out that flesh, the enemy. If we don't, it's a thorn in our side. We need to listen to what the Lord is showing us. He's showing it to us for a reason. And it's interesting because we see how God feels about this. You know, back in Judges 2:1, it said the angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim. And it doesn't sound like such a big deal, but let me show you the difference here. Gilgal is the place where they first camped after they crossed the Jordan River, the place of blessing. And the Lord traveled from Gilgal, the place of blessing, to Bochim, or a place of weeping. That's what Bochim means, weeping. They moved from the place of blessing and obedience to God to the place of weeping because their disobedience has now put them in difficult situations. God's promise to Israel was fulfilled by God. They were in the promised land, the land of Canaan. And then we saw God's warning to Israel to drive out the enemy completely, and they didn't. And now, in Judges 2:3, we see God chastening Israel. Look at this, for their disobedience. Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. Now, you may think, well, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound fair. God promised them in the land of Canaan, brought them into this land. He fought for them with miraculous victories, like Jericho. And then the Lord says, I'm not going to drive them out before you. They're going to be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. Why? They didn't listen to the Lord. They didn't drive out the enemy completely. God's given them what they desired, not what he desired for them. God reminded them that he would not do all the work of conquering Canaan by himself. Yes, in the earlier years, like we saw in Joshua, the big campaigns in Canaan, God fought for Israel sometimes in supernatural ways. But now, with these individual tribes driving out the enemy in their territory, he wanted to work with them in conquering the enemy. And they only went part way. And God's chasing them for their disobedience. And isn't that what God does with us? God does his part, but he also tells us that we need to walk by faith. That's our part. God says, you need to get a job. You need to go and get a job. Well, I'm just going to wait in my lazy boy chair for a job to drop in my lap. No! God says he's going to give you a job. Go out and apply. Right? Do the work. It's our responsibility as well to walk by faith. And here, God warned them that these enemies they didn't drive out would be a thorn in their flesh. Irritants in their eyes harassed them, and it came to pass. Imagine, God was right, huh? Yeah. Please understand, when God chastens his children, it's not for punishment. It's because he loves us. And he doesn't want us to continue down that path. He wants to get us on the right path, to keep us out of danger. You know, a young child fascinated with fire on the stove, and he keeps trying to put his hand in the flame, as a parent, what are you going to do? You're going to discipline your son or daughter. And maybe you have to give them a little swat on the butt to get their attention or whatever. But you want them to stop. Why? Because it's dangerous. If you didn't love your child, you would do absolutely nothing. And that's what happens a lot of times. So I don't want to offend them. I don't want them to not like me. I want to be the parent that they like. You're a parent. They're not going to like you, okay? That's the whole thing about being a parent. Do we always like what God tells us? Personally, I always don't like it. I've said it before, forgiveness, right? That's like the hardest one. Because we have reasons why we can't forgive someone. God says, I want you to forgive them. As I forgave you. Well, what did God forgive me of? Everything. Everything. So now he wants me to forgive. I need to listen. I need to obey. Or there's consequences because he loves me. In Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11, Paul said, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The word chastening that Paul uses, or discipline, is speaking of training of a child so they would grow and mature. God, this is not punitive or retaliatory. It's corrective to his children. Yes, outside of Christ there is judgment. It's punitive, but not in Christ. Paul said in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. God is trying to get that garbage out of our lives. And he turns up the heat. And I don't know about you, but there are times I think I'm doing pretty good, and all of a sudden something happens. Someone will cut me off on the road. And it's like, wow, I thought I had that under control, and I didn't. And God shows you need to surrender it all. And believe me, from where I was before I got saved, driving, I'm so grateful for Jesus because, you know, I just don't let things bother me like they used to. They would irritate me. And you know why they irritated me? Because they were driving on my road. Like fools. I mean, come on. How could you drive like that? This is my road. Get out of the way. How could you go that slow? Come on. Now, it doesn't bother me. Because I know God's in control. Do I still have issues? You know me. Of course I do. We all do. The wonderful thing is God never gets up working in our lives, purging that stuff out. So important for us. Our Father loves us so much. Think about our earthly fathers. When I was a kid, I got in trouble. I know it's hard to believe, but I did. I got in trouble, and my dad would discipline me. My mom would discipline me. Did I like when they disciplined me? Did I go, oh, thanks, man. I really needed that, Dad. That was wonderful. That was a really good spanking, man. Are you kidding me? I was so mad that he spanked me. He disciplined me. But you know what happens? As you grow up and mature, you look back and go, wow, there was so much wisdom in what he was doing. He was trying, it wasn't that he hated me, he was trying to protect me and teach me. And our parents and we as parents are not perfect. We'll never be perfect, but our Heavenly Father is. So if we respect our earthly parents, our earthly father, then may we respect our Heavenly Father and what he is showing us. His discipline is perfect, and it's for our benefit. Purging that dross from our lives, that garbage that's in there, and in the end, I guarantee you, we look back and we see the wisdom of his actions in our lives, why he did what he did. Paul said, when God is done working in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Absolutely. God is molding and shaping us into his image. We're not going to be gods. I'm not saying that, but he's making us more like him. His nature flowing from our lives. Spurgeon said, I'm afraid that all the grace I have gotten out of my comfortable and easy times and happy hours might also almost lie on a penny. But the good that I've received from my sorrows and pains and griefs is altogether incalculable. What do I not owe to the hammer and the anvil, the fire and the file? Affliction is the best bit of furniture in my house. And it is. God's teaching us, again, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. And here's the thing. When we're walking with God, in tune with God, our heart is a reflection of his heart. He will give us the desire of our heart because it's what he desires for us and it's what's best. But if we want this, we want that, and it's not of God, be careful. He may give you the desire of your heart, and it's not a good thing if it's not in line with his. And that's what the children of Israel. God said, you don't want to drive out this enemy? They're going to be a thorn in your side. I told you what you needed to do. So God's promised to Israel to bring them into the land of Canaan, the promised land. He's done that. God's warning to Israel to drive out the enemy, they didn't do that. God's chastening of Israel because of their disobedience. And as we read on, the response of Israel. Look at verse 4 here in Judges chapter 2. So it was when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voice and wept. Then they called the name of that place Bochim, or weeping, and they sacrificed there to the Lord or to Yahweh. It kind of looks promising here. You know, as the conviction of the Lord came upon the children of Israel, as they heard what the Lord was telling them, they wept and they offered sacrifice to the Lord. You know, conviction is a good thing. God speaks to our hearts. He shows us what's right and what's wrong. The word convict in the Greek means to convince someone of the truth, to reprove, to accuse, refute, or cross-examine a witness. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, kind of, I guess you say, as a prosecuting attorney who's exposing evil, convincing us that, you know, first of all, we need a Savior, and after we're saved, the things that we do in our lives that need to be changed, that need to be corrected. And that's the wonderful thing, again, I've said this over and over, but never forget this. God never gives up on us. don't know where some of you are at this morning. Maybe you feel like a complete failure before God, that there's no way God can love you because you've blown it so many times and he's got to be done with you. He's not. God never gives up on us. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will complete it. Don't give up on yourselves. Repent, surrender, and follow after God. Because he's not giving up on you. And he will continue to draw you and draw you and draw you until you surrender, until you go back to him. Because he loves you that much. Don't give up on yourself. Surrender to God and follow him. So important. Here I think what we see, sadly to say, with the children of Israel is kind of a half-hearted response on their part. And as we read on in Judges chapter 2, and really the rest of the book of Judges, we see that. It wasn't a wholehearted effort. I mean, the book of Judges is a very dark book for the nation of Israel. By the time you get to the end of it, you go, oh my gosh, how could they be doing these things? There's some very disturbing chapters when we come to the end of Judges. That's because they turned from God. So we have God's promise to Israel, this land, the land of Canaan. God's warning, drive out the enemy. They didn't do it. God's chastening of Israel for their disobedience to the Lord. The response of Israel, they wept and sacrificed to God. They wanted to get right. And look at the conclusion here in verse 6 of Judges chapter 2. And when Joshua had dismissed the people, the children of Israel went each to his own inheritance to possess the land. This took place during the time of Joshua, okay? We read earlier that Joshua, or we're going to read that Joshua died, and this is before that. So it's kind of interesting to me. I think it occurred towards the end of his life is what the things we read in Joshua chapter 24. And where is this place now, Bochim? Many believe that they called Shechem this name because of where they were at spiritually speaking. So if this is a recap of what transpired, that would make sense. And God is warning them of what this compromise of allowing the enemy, making a covenant with them, will do to them. And this is why I don't think it was a wholehearted effort. Look at verses 10 through 13 of Judges chapter 2. This is what transpired after the death of Joshua and the death of the leaders that were following the Lord. That generation had passed off the scene. This is the next generation. And this is what we're told. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord. They forsook Yahweh and served Baal and the Asherahs, the Canaanite goddesses. God warned them, right? Chastened them. They made this half-hearted effort to follow the Lord, but in the end, they didn't have that relationship with the Lord. And the other nations that were around them, that the ones they didn't drive out, these nations brought them down, just like God said. If we understand who God is, that he's an all-knowing God, if we understand that he loves us more than we will ever know, then when he tells us something, it's not to hurt us, but to bless us, and we need to listen. Believe me, you know, over the last 24 and a half years of ministry here, the Lord has shown me some things that I needed to deal with within the church. And they weren't easy things. Some of them happened very early on when I was in ministry. And the Lord was so clear when he was speaking to me. And I needed to obey him. And I did. Were there consequences? Yeah. But I wonder what would have happened if I didn't obey him. Things would have been a lot worse. We need to listen to what the Lord is telling us. And I'm sure we've all experienced it. The Lord's like, you know, don't go out with that person. Don't take that job. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't watch that show. Don't go on that, you know, website. Don't do this. Like, well, you know, what's the big deal? It is a big deal if God's talking to you, right? It's important. Let me share this with you. Turn to Hebrews 3 for a second. In Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 7 through 15 as I bring this study to an end. This is what Paul wrote. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not shown me, have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort or encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. He goes on, for we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. We are being challenged, I think, in this day to compromise what we believe, to harden our hearts to what God is showing us, to let men drive us instead of the word of God guide us. And we have to take a stand. Who are we going to listen to? Does God know what's best for my life today in 2019 and coming into 2020, right? Does he know what's best for my life? Oh, but this book was written thousands of years ago. My God is everlasting. He knows exactly what I need today, tomorrow, and down the road until I go to be with him. And I need to be listening to him. I need to be obedient to what he's telling me. Because I'll tell you what, it is so easy to get caught up with what people are saying, what leaders are saying, instead of what God is saying. If I'm teaching you something that is contrary to my word, I'm wrong. Or contrary to God's word, I'm wrong. I don't care who it is, how popular the person is. We like to elevate people. We make pastors rock stars today. We're not. We're sinful people just like everyone else. And we could blow it. And I guess, and I've said it before, I'm very thankful that I know there's enough people in this church who, if I said something that was wrong, would not be fearful to confront me with it. That's a good thing. It's called accountability. We see it within women, the women's Bible study. We see it with the men's study where we're sharing from the scriptures. If we're missing something, there's always someone there to say, hey, what about this? This, I don't think that's right. What a blessing that is. Because do you really want to start going off course? I don't. And God has what's best for our lives. We've seen it here this morning. Look at the promises that God has given to us in his word. Can you trust them? Can you follow them? Can you obey them? May we hear God's warning to us. Does God warn us in the scriptures? Absolutely. In the last days, some are going to depart from the faith. They have itching ears. They'll look for teachers that will tickle their ears. Turn them, and they'll believe in fairy tales instead of the truth. There are warnings in there. Be careful. And may we take to heart God's chastening upon our lives. Because please understand, his chastening is because he loves us. And may we respond to the chastening of God with repentance and turning back to him. And may we walk with the Lord all the days of our life. Because I think that's really what we want to do. And I know we struggle with that because we don't always. But again, God doesn't give up on us. So you keep walking. When Peter was called by Jesus to get out of the boat and walk on the Sea of Galilee during a storm, waves crashing, he did. And then he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. And this is what I love about our Lord. He didn't put Peter down for sinking. He reached out to Peter to lift him up. So wherever you're at this morning, maybe you need the hand of Jesus to lift you up. Reach out to him because he will. That's how much he loves you. Walk with the Lord all the days of your life. What a wonderful thing. Because there's coming a day where we're going to spend eternity with him. May we start here and now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these words. And Lord, tough lessons here with the children of Israel. But Lord, these are lessons for us because we struggle with these issues today. And I just pray, Lord, that we take to heart and we would take these lessons and apply them to our lives and grow in our relationship with you. We love you so much, and we want to just glorify you. We want to be lights that are shining in this dark world. We don't want people to see us. We want people to see Jesus in us, that his love, his nature flows from our lives, that we are far different from the world. We don't have that hatred or anger or bitterness, but we have that love for them no matter what. Help us, Lord, to be those kind of people, to surrender totally to you and to walk with you all the days of our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.